So Hare Krishna everyone, welcome to our home. This is the first time I think we're having, so we're feeling very fortunate that everybody have come here and make it very transcendental. Thank you so much. Because initially we are just starting, there will be lots of ups and downs and obstacles and so many things. So, you know, please keep that in mind and just forgive us for all those things. So we'll just review, we'll do the prayer pranams. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपागतं मह्यं ददाति स्वापदाम्बिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगणललिता शीर्षाकान्तं च. हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरूप्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम रामा हरे हरे. नमो विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण कृष्णाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांता स्वामीति नाम्ने. नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे. प्रभुपाद की जय. सो विल जस्ट रिव्यू. आई डोंट हैव अ क्लॉक विथ मी.
इट्स दैट 7:30 मतलब
7:30. वेयर इज इट?
योर
दैट वन आई कैन नॉट सी प्रॉपर्ली. ओके
अकड़ है तुम.
How to act in Nishkama Karma Yoga. No, because that's what Arjuna was confused about, right? He doesn't know how to act. Act in knowledge. So this section, Krishna is giving indications. So some can briefly, you know, can you bring about some points we discussed? Verse by verse if you want or whichever.
Mataji, so you have already completed 1 through 12 reviews.
Yeah, review? Verses we covered, yes.
But in the mail that we discussed,
you want
to clarify?
Yeah, I think there was a... Prabhu didn't know what we covered in the class.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we are covering today 13 to 16 hopefully.
Okay.
That's okay, because every verse is independent pretty much. Mm-hmm. So you'll not lose the context. It's fine. You thought you'll attend 5th chapter fully? Okay, that's fine. Yeah. So can we review 7th verse?
The person in Krishna consciousness, he is dear to everyone. Oh. And everybody, it's other way.
Other way also.
Because he understands everybody is part and parcel of Krishna, that's why he loves everybody.
Mm.
And because he is Krishna conscious, you know, he doesn't hurt anybody and he serves everybody else.
Wow.
That's why other people also like
him. Very nice. Very wonderfully you understood everything repeated. Very nice. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, next verse, 8 to 9. Eight to nine covers about how does he go about during his activities, like, you know, how does he work basically. So what's the essence of this verse? That's the last line in the translation.
Krishna consciousness is never affected by the actions of the senses.
Mm.
He cannot perform any act,
except in the service of the Lord, because he knows that he is eternal
servitor of the Lord. So, but the essence is that, you know, in the translation, the last line, he is aloof.
Mm-hmm.
So, knowing that he is self-realized, he is a soul, he knows only material nature is in action. You know, senses are in touch with sense objects, but as a soul, spirit soul, he is not doing anything. So, he remains aloof. So, how practically he does is because by doing all these activities in service to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not that just withdrawing from external activities. Okay, so the next verse, 10th verse. So, 10th verse talks about, okay, if he is not the doer, he knows Krishna is a doer, then automatically he wants to give results to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does that verse, that's the 10th verse. Then he thus he remains like a lotus leaf untouched by water. Even though it's in water, lotus leaf is untouched. Similarly, even though he's performing a lot of actions, he doesn't get any reactions because he's completely surrendering everything to the Lord. Okay, so text number 11. Then why does he act? See, he is not the doer and he doesn't gain anything from the results. So what is his motivation for action? Somebody may say, I am not the doer, basically I am not the proprietor and I don't gain anything from the results and I don't want anything. Then why should I do? So what's the motivation given in this verse 11? Why should he work?
Purification.
We should work for because it purifies him. And what is the, how did we understand purification? Purification of what?
I'm not this body.
Purification of not identifying from the body as self.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one Baladev Vidya Bhushan said in the, specifically in this section, in this verse. Yeah, in general, we can say purification of heart. We talked about different meanings of what does purification mean. But in ultimately, everything stems from this. All the other contamination is coming because we identify body as self. Like, you know, we think about lust, greed, envy as dirt, as you know, dirt in the heart. We think, you know, okay, let me get free from lust, let me get free from greed, let me get free from envy. So we can say, okay, let me get purified from all this individually. But ultimately, all this is coming because we think this body is me. Correct. That's the root problem. So that's what is identified here.
Here we talked about another two reasons for
that. Ah, right, yes.
One is duty, second is purification, and third one is
set an example.
Yeah, we noted the verse also, right, referring to them. Yeah, that's very nice. Okay, text number 12. So this verse is a summary of last five verses. Swami Prabhu, you didn't attend, right? Yeah.
No,
Prabhu, you attended?
No idea.
You didn't attend, okay. So please share somebody who attended. Mataji, Prabhuji, you want to share? Whatever. 10th, 12th.
Summary of last, right?
12th verse?
12th we did cover. Oh, we covered, yeah.
The last line is a kind of summary. The secret of Krishna consciousness is realizing that there is no existence beside Krishna is a platform of peace.
So, everything is Krishna, everything is within Krishna and everything is connected to Krishna. So, actually this reminds me of one statement Srila Prabhupada says, if you see any problem in your life, any difficulty in your life, it's only because of your lack of Krishna consciousness. I think we mentioned earlier, right? Because we are not able to see things connected to Krishna, we think there is a problem. You know, either, you know, this person doesn't go with me or, you know, I cannot handle things or... So many these things because we don't have the way to see things connected to Krishna. But if we are able to see it, we can see everything as mercy of the Lord, we see everything as service to the Lord. Like even so-called difficulties or so-called blame or dishonor, so many things, right? That's how we become transcendental to all these things. Okay. So we'll start today's section. So today we'll cover this next section, 13 to 16. Hopefully we'll cover this whole section. Here, this section, Krishna talks about now who is the real doer. So because earlier he mentioned, right, soul is not the Living entity is not the doer. So now this section is covering about who is the real doer. Is it the living entity or the soul? Or is it the material nature? Or is it the super soul? These are the three main factors of any action. Living entity, material nature and the super soul. So these three roles Krishna is going to explain. What's the role of living entity? What's the role of material nature? What's the role of super soul in performing any action? So then by that we can understand what is our role in that, what is our responsibility and how much can we take credit. Okay, so we'll start text number 13. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyasti sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. When the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of 9 gates, the material body, neither working nor causing work to be done. So here Krishna is explaining how a living entity doesn't really cause any work to be done. He is showing here how a living entity is not the real doer. Especially the last line, right? He neither works nor causes any work to be done. He clearly mentions that the living entity is not really the doer. So when the embodied living being controls his nature and mentally renounces all actions, he resides happily in the city of 9 gates. So what is the city of 9 gates? This is the body. So Kri Prabhupada, which are the 9 gates?
The 9 holes that we have, the 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, 2 eyes, genital holes. And
no,
5
Yeah, 9, correct. Innocent genitals, correct. 7 are upper gates and 2 are lower gates.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in the purport later on. So we are, the living entity is living in the city of this 9 gates. So this is a very nice analogy to think about, right? Like when somebody goes into a city, do we say, I am the city? So it's like that, right? So we are living, this living entity is residing in the city of this 9 gates and we say, I am this body. So another example also Prabhupada says, example of a car, later on, other Prabhupada said, listening to lecture. So people buy cars, right? Many people get easily identify with the cars. And suppose some accident happens to the car, and the car tire got burst. They say, my tire is burst.
Mm-hmm.
No, they say, my tank is empty.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the person doesn't have tire or doesn't have tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, but people can understand what he means. So that much he identifies with the car, basically. It's like me only, So anything happens to car, that's why, we become miserable when something happens. We cannot handle because so much we identify. Similarly, how much ever we identify with this body, something happens to this body, either gross or subtle. Right? There are two bodies, right? Which is the gross body made of?
Five elements.
Which are?
Air, water, earth.
So five pancha mahabhuta, these are five material elements. And which is a subtle body?
Mind, intelligence,
and false ego. So, if some pain happens to the gross body also, soul suffers because it identifies with the body. And more than that, gross pain, in 2 days it gets healed. But if pain happens to the subtle body, especially ego, right? We hold on to it for so many, years or sometimes, we cannot even able to forgive that person. Then we want to give it back, all those things. So that carries over again to the next life because that impressions will again stay. So, because this all is happening because we identify with that city of 9 gates. So, as we mentioned earlier, Krishna mentions, if we can become aloof, knowing that, I am not really, I have to do anything with these gates. I have not to do anything with this body. Then we can, be in this position, neither working nor causing work to be done. Okay, one second, I'll reduce that volume. So we'll read from like some lines down. Owing only to forgetfulness, four lines down.
Owing only to the forgetfulness of his superior nature, he identifies with the material body and therefore suffers. By Krishna consciousness, he can revive his real position and thus come out of his embodiment. Therefore, when one takes to Krishna consciousness, one at once becomes completely aloof from bodily activities. In such a controlled life, in which his deliberations are changed, he lives happily within the city of nine gates.
We can pause there. So, what is the practical way to become aloof? What's the technique Prabhupada is giving? We discussed, right? To be aloof, you know, that's the solution. If you want to be happy in this city of nine gates. So, what's the way?
To take to Krishna consciousness
is the solution Krishna Prabhupada is giving. And another point is, in such a controlled life. So, what is this control? You know, Krishna also says that living being controls his nature. So, what are these controls? So, let's talk about that. A controlled life. So, these are regulative principles of freedom. Regulative principles we have, right? Regulative principles, four regulative principles we follow, right? Which are four regulative principles?
No
meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit connection, and no gambling. So, this seems to be restrictions, right? Okay, I should not do this. So, somebody may feel, I'm actually being restricted. But actually, this restriction will allow, it's called regulative principles of freedom, will allow them to become free, free from entanglement of material nature. That's what is the freedom. Then another related point, you know, it's said, Prabhupada says, is that, you know, real independence is complete dependence on the Lord. That also seems contradictory. No, okay, I want independence, then why am I depending on somebody, right? But real independence is complete dependence on the Lord. Like, for example, Narada Muni. He is fully surrendered devotee of the Lord, but he can travel anywhere and everywhere he wants, any moment. Right? So, because he got that real independence, because of his complete dependence on the Lord. Such a control. So, controls his nature. And another point about controlled nature is prescribed duties. Like, you know, we have whatever duties we are given, we just stick to them. We don't jump and do somebody else's duties and things like that. So, that also gives us regulation. So, these are two points about control. You know, controls Krishna talks about. One is regulative principles of freedom. Other one is prescribed duties. So, initially we don't have this nature. Initially we have identified with the body, right? So, gradually when you take up Krishna consciousness, gradually our nature starts changing now. Now then we slowly will become more and more Krishna conscious. So, over a period of time, our nature changes. So, it's gradual progress. So, we'll continue further.
Mataji, two things, the regulative principle of freedom and another one which is
prescribed duties. So, further down, after the Sanskrit, the body consists of nine gates.
The body consists of nine gates. Two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one mouth, the anus and the genitals. The living entity in his conditioned stage identifies himself with the body. But when he identifies himself with the Lord within himself, he becomes just as free as the Lord, even while in the body.
Yeah. So, this is how he becomes free. So, he becomes transcendental and as free as the Lord. So, here there is a point about what are the nine gates. Yeah, we can continue two lines.
Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is free from both the outer and inner activities of the material body.
So, what are the outer activities? Like outer, external activities he does, like actions and all those things, right? Endeavors, all those things. Inner activities are activities within the nine gates.
Example, ego.
Yeah, eating and all this, false ego, inner activities. Okay. So if he does like this, if embodied living entity is in this such a disposition, what results does he achieve? That is given in the next verse. Oh, Or also, you know, if he doesn't do anything, who is the actual doer? Text number, we'll go to the next verse. Text number 14. Na kartritvam na karmani lokasya sujati prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. So again, same, he doesn't create activities, he doesn't induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. So he is not even responsible for the results. But who is doing all this? Three modes of material nature. So we came across this verse right earlier. Which verse is that? 3.27 prakrute kriyamanani. Somebody can say the verse. Anybody remembers? Gunai karmani sarvashah ankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. Okay. So four lines down, we can the temporary body.
The temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and their result reactions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the results of the activities of the body by identifying himself with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. Mm. As soon as a living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he is in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it. But actually he is neither its proprietor nor controller of its actions and reactions. He is simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness that alone will save him from all turmoil.
So here Srila Prabhupada covers the whole sequence again. How does the living entity gets embodied and how does he identify, how does he end up with this material happiness and distress? And finally, how does he become free? Right. So first of all, now how does he? It starts with ignorance. He says, because of ignorance, from time immemorial. So we cannot say which time it started. From time immemorial, because of contact, living entity contact with the material mode of ignorance, one identifies himself with the body. Because of which, so once we start identifying with the body, so whatever happens to the body, soul feels it. Right, because the consciousness of the soul is spread all over the body. So any small toe, nail or something, small thing happens also, we feel that's a gone case, we cannot do anything at all. So because the consciousness is spread all over the body and soul is now identifying with the body. So then what's the solution, Srila Prabhupada is saying? So as soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. Yeah, take to Krishna consciousness. And also he is mentioning another analogy, like how is it compared to? It's compared to the living entity in the material body is compared to in the ocean. So in the ocean there are a lot of different fish and all these things, right? These are considered as different species of life. There are 8,400,000 species of life. So all this living entities are being tossed around with the waves. Like we are all like that. Just being whacked here and there with the material nature. And we are all struggling for existence. So do we relate to this? Do we all agree? Struggling? Struggling for existence? That's why this is a very nice verse. Many times I hear and always somehow it strikes me this verse all the time during chanting, especially. It says, oh my Lord, this is one of the verses in Shishashtakamal Sutra. I'm drowning in this ocean of existence. Please pick me up from this ocean. and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. No, it's, we should feel like that. Then our chanting will become intense. It's like, no, really, you know, I can't make any sense of this. So much, you know, so many things have to, you know, do, and so many things happen, and so many things. It's like, it's just one after the other, you know, not even 1 minute to sit and think about anything. No, just I'm just busying myself with so many things. No, just can you, no, lift me from this and just make me atom at your lotus feet. That means just keep me engaged in your service. No, instead of just being tossed around by this wave, that wave, going here and there, let me just engage myself in your service. So the Prabhupada is saying the best solution is to get out of the water. Just get out of this material realm by transcendental Krishna consciousness. So can you relate that we are struggling?
Oh yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, already. That's very good. That's why you're here, no wonder. That's why Hemant doesn't want to sit here. So she's Shobha Mataji's cousin. Hemant is there, right? You saw the tall person.
Mm-hmm.
He's also Mataji's cousin.
Oh.
But he says, you know, he calls me sister. Sister, I'll come and help you with the kids, but don't ask me to sit in the class. I said, okay, fine. Do whatever you want. But she just landed yesterday.
Yeah.
But you know, she's so much, you know, she likes to listen to Bhagavad Gita, so she's able to sit here for some time at least. Yeah. So we'll see if you come next week. Struggle for existence. Yeah, usually many people don't even awaken themselves, because they are lost in the so much covering that they feel they are happy. Right? That's the main problem. If you go to meet any of your work colleagues and say, you know, person, you know, you are struggling, why don't you take to Krishna consciousness? Nobody will agree. Who will agree? Right? So for this, to have that realization also, I mean, they need some piety. It's not ordinary to come to this realization that, you know, I'm filled with perplexities. That verse is there, right? With so many perplexities Krishna talks about, Arjuna. Where he surrenders to spiritual master, right? The way to surrender to spiritual master, get out of the perplexities, is to surrender to spiritual master. So recognize that, you know, I'm filled with material perplexity also is a beginning, actually. It's a beginning. Then somebody will inquire, okay, then, you know, I'm stuck here, I'm suffering. So what is the way out of it? Then somebody will start, you know, receptive mood. So then the question arises, earlier it is said that the living entity is not the doer, and now material nature is the doer. So does anybody see, you know, somebody can manipulate this and do something wrong?
Why we get reactions from the activities if we are not doing?
Okay,
something?
That's a very good question. And any other devil's advocate, somebody may say, okay, well, earlier we discussed that living entity means soul, like all of us are souls, right? Soul is not doing anything. Like if you do some actions, like let's say, you know, I build a house or I eat something, I'm not doing, but actually material nature means it consists of three modes, but material elements, like this is, you know, this is all made of matter, so they are doing it. So that's what is discussed earlier. And in this verse, what is discussed is that matter is doing it. So then Prabhu is saying, somebody may say, okay, material nature is doing everything, so why I am getting reactions? Soul has to face reactions, right? That's why it has to take another birth. So that's one question somebody may ask. What if somebody can manipulate this for something else? How can somebody manipulate this?
So it's like blaming the material nature of your actions, saying like a material nature should be blamed other me.
Yeah.
But whereas the truth is, material nature has provided you this body, but what you do with this body is your responsibility.
Yeah, we'll come to that answering later. So the point you're saying is, what was the
manipulation? Is like, even though I do something wrong, but I'm actually blaming,
okay,
the
material. So
nature.
So let's say I go kill somebody and say, no, I'm not really doing anything. Material nature is doing, you know, material knife is made of matter, my hands, actions, senses are in touch with sense objects, right? I'm not really doing anything. So people will abscond from responsibilities. No, I'm not really doing anything. What is another thing people could do? The third line of karma nivadikaraste. Lethargy.
Sit and,
yeah, say, you know, I'm not really doing anything. Anyway, material nature is doing. Why should I do anything? I don't have to act, right?
But nobody can do that. By nature, soul is
Yeah, he will do, but he doesn't want to do what he's supposed to do. He will do something else. that's why he's giving excuse. No, so these are the couple of reasonings people will give. So let's understand, we have already discussed this earlier. Like, what is the specific role of each of these? Like, you know, living entity, super soul, and super soul is going to come later on also, but we'll cover this in this context. And the material nature. So who knows that, what is the role each one plays and why responsibility has to be taken by the living entity? We discussed this earlier. Who understood it properly and can summarize it? Why living entity is still responsible for like the murder it does?
Because we have our free will. It's responsible for the actions that we take when we are faced with whatever material nature is giving us.
Okay. So basically, ultimately, it's because of the living entity's free will or desire. So it's because of the desire, the living entity becomes responsible for its actions. So what material nature is basically it's an implementer. So if we desire one thing, let's say if I desire to hit somebody, material nature, let's say, it's going to provide the facility to hit somebody. But if I desire to serve somebody, material nature is going to provide facility to serve somebody. So it's going to act according to the program we provide. Output, that's fixed. If you give this input, that output is going to come. But what input we give is our desire and our free will. That's why we become responsible. So material nature is going to act like a robot. If you do certain thing, this is output you get. Right? So what we want to do is our responsibility, and that's why we have to face the reactions. Because of our desire, because of our free will.
So Mataji, why in this shloka, you know, it is being emphasized that material nature is the doer? Because earlier, yes, we understand that we are responsible, but why here particularly we are giving credit to?
No, because Krishna is saying you should not take credit for the results. No, you are not really doing anything. The point is, we should understand this. Living entity is both the doer and non-doer. How it's a doer? Because of the desire, he is accountable for what he is doing. That's why he is accountable for the reactions. So that way he is doer. How it's non-doer? Because he's really not physically doing anything. It's all done by material nature. So he cannot take credit of anything. Cannot say, no, I accomplished it, and you know, take it to myself and claim to everyone. It's all because we have the five factors of action, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's various endeavors, the senses, and this body, and the super soul, and what else? Other one.
But Mataji, if you want to do anything, you have to put your determination, right? It's determination is not material energy. Determination is with your intelligence,
yes,
or somewhere,
exactly.
Right?
Yes.
You have to put that determination,
yes.
Only then you can do that action,
yes.
Either negative or positive.
Yes.
So
this is all free will and
is
desire. This is all desire and free will. See, for example, I'll tell you some practical thing which we can understand.
Weird.
See, for example, two people come to Krishna consciousness, same time, let's say. Maybe they have similar backgrounds, pious. But somebody advances fast, somebody doesn't advance. So what's the difference? Why? Let's say they have same temple, everything is the same. Why? When somebody is with, you know, sincerity, with determination, is applying himself properly, and somebody is like, okay, chalta hai yaar, you know, this life is yet another life, okay, I'm just, I want to do little bit and it's okay. So all the elements are same. Temple is same, material elements, people are outside, people are same, everybody is same. The results are different for different people, these two people. Why? Because input is different, right? The amount of sincerity, determination we put in our action in with these two people is different. That's why the results are different. So that's why soul is responsible, doer. But at the same time, after I do this service, after I make advancement, I cannot say I made advancement. Because there's so much mercy is involved, so many people are helping us. We are not the only one. So that's the factor. No, we are doer and non-doer. So we are doer in the sense we should take accountability for what we do. We are non-doer in the sense we should not take credit for what we do.
Mataji, can you repeat?
We are doer because we have to take accountability for what we do. In the sense, if some mistakes happen or something, we are responsible. We know. We know we should do it properly. We are accountable for it. We are going to get reaction, so we are accountable for it. So if somebody has to put a label, no. Who gets the result of all these things, especially bad things, is this person. Of course, pious credits also we have to face after life. And we are non-doer because we cannot take credit for what we do. We cannot say, no, I did this. Because Krishna did it actually. It's all his energy. I'm
so
just
like
instrumental.
It's like simple. It's like the pot which is made of mud. Mud is provided. That's why somebody made the pot. So he cannot claim that I made the pot. He did some part of it, but he is not a complete.
The complete doer. Yes,
pot.
He's not the ultimate doer. Yes.
Ultimate doer.
Yeah, that's right. He's a doer, but he's not the ultimate doer. Ultimate doer is Krishna and material nature.
That's right.
That's right. But at the same time, this person can sell the pot and earn money and use it. Because somehow Krishna provided these elements to him. He cannot say, you know, somebody cannot say, you know, all this is material nature. Okay, you are putting energy, that is also material nature. So you should not take money also.
Give free.
Yeah, give free. But still, you know, he Krishna has to give him something for the work he has done. So it's a very, very nice. So that's why, you know, we should understand this carefully. So we don't misuse this thinking, you know, either becoming lethargic, saying, you know, anyway everything is going to happen. Anyway, my destiny is fixed. So let me not do anything. Versus, okay, I am the one responsible for what I do. So, no, I will become so, what to say, frustrated or egoistic. And, you know, we can relate to, right, how we act when we know that, when we think we are the doer. Becomes too intoxicated with the result. And we think like we are the controller. And when suddenly, you know, at the end result changes, we cannot handle. Because we think we are the doers. But suddenly we feel the result is not in my hands. Yeah, actually this is the thing, realization I had, of course, when I didn't come to Krishna consciousness. Naturally, life provides this realizations, right? We are somehow, you know, subtly we think we are actually doer. You know, I am the cause of the results I'm getting. Somehow we have the belief. But when things don't happen, that's when we feel actually, you know, it's not really me. Somebody superior is there behind the results. So how I can relate is, what happened in my life is, education-wise, everything is perfect. Perfect means at least so-called materially perfect. Whatever. I never had to, you know, struggle for education. Everywhere I was topper and, you know, it's like, just keys to come. Results used to come. So by that, I had this feeling that, you know, I am actually doing it. Right? Everything, okay, I study, I get the result. Okay, I'm the doer. That's how it gets ingrained actually. But then what happened when it came to marriage, somehow it didn't work. So many times, so many, you know, people meet or something, so many years my dad has to struggle and I had to struggle. And that time, because I was so used to success, that's the time I started facing the failure. And it was so tough because I was not in Krishna consciousness to handle the failure. Because I was thinking I'm the doer, then who is this? Why the results are not coming? Why things are not happening according to what I want? Right? So then, but the problem is, because we don't have Krishna consciousness, we don't know how to, positive way to look at it. We just get frustrated. So that's how I became. I got frustrated. And slowly, you know, Krishna, when he found that I was maybe purified enough, he came. Krishna consciousness came. So by very fact of the life, we will get these lessons. But nobody understands this is the lessons we are getting. Okay, go to the next verse. Text number 15. Nadate kashyas papam na jaiva sukritam vibhu agnane na vritam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers the real knowledge. Okay, see, this is another point. Okay, so material nature is doing and Krishna is a controller of this material nature. So if I get any reactions or negative things, Krishna is responsible. If my leg breaks or if my son dies, Krishna has to be blamed. Now, why Krishna created such a situation? So that's another point people ask. Right? Because I'm not the ultimate doer. Krishna is the ultimate doer. Material nature is his agent. They are doing everything. So whatever happens to it, Krishna is to be blamed. But then we are violating the first thing. We are the accountable person, right? That's what we are violating. So that's what Krishna is clarifying here. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. So Krishna is not responsible. Embodied beings, because why it happens? because they're bewildered, they identify with they because of the ignorance, they get bewildered, and they cover that covers their real knowledge, because of which they do sinful activities, because of which they have to face the reactions. Okay, so six lines down, a living entity is by superior nature.
A living entity is by superior nature full of knowledge. Nevertheless, he is prone to be influenced by ignorance due to his limited power. The Lord is omnipotent, but the living entity is not. The Lord is vibhu or omniscient, but the living entity is anu or atomic. Because he is a living soul, he has the capacity to desire by his free will. Such desire is fulfilled only by the omnipotent Lord. And so, when the living entity is bewildered in his desires, the Lord allows him to fulfill those desires, but the Lord is never responsible for the actions and reactions of the particular situation which may be desired.
We can pause there. So it's very clear here, right? So because of free will, living entity has desires, but who is fulfilling those desires? Lord, through his material energy, is fulfilling. So basically, living entity is also not omnipotent in fulfilling its desires. So we don't have a full capacity to fulfill our desires also. We just have a desire, but who is going to make it happen? That's all, a credit goes to Krishna. So that's why we are not the ultimate doer. But because Krishna is loving us, if at all we desire something wrong, still he fulfills that, these desires. So because of the desire is going to happen, Lord is not responsible for the actions and reactions of a particular situation. Right? Because it's all stemming from the desire we have. So what does this mean then? So actually this is a very nice, you know, it points to this lecture. One incident, Srila Prabhupada's incident. Srila Prabhupada is leaving one city. He sat in the car, he was about to leave. Then one devotee was running behind, and you know, he was trying to get his attention and went there. People were trying to stop him, but somehow he got attention. And he said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, how can I become Krishna conscious? No, can you tell me, you know, how can I become Krishna conscious?" Now, what's the reply?
Desire.
Prabhupada's reply is one word, desire. Because everything, the whole material existence is based on that thing, desire. Whether we desire for our pleasure, whether we desire for Krishna's pleasure. That's all. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's all that. So, if based on that, actually on top of it, Radharath Maharaj gave a very wonderful lecture. It's called, title is called Cultivating Proper Desires. Going deeper and deeper into desires and how it works, all those things. Very nice lecture. So in that lecture, Radhanand Maharaj was telling, actually, Srila Prabhupada has answered the whole philosophy. So much anybody could say, not in one paragraph, not in one sentence, not in one phrase. He answered it in one word. He said, you know, that's the depth of his Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada just said desire and he left. So if we want to become Krishna conscious, just desire it. So once we desire, what will happen? Material nature will arrange everything. Of course, sometimes it may be, you know, slow, or because of conditioning, even if material nature is arranging, we will come back to our previous desires because of conditioning, right? Somehow it's arranging opportunities to go to temple, opportunity to do service. But somehow because of conditioning, we feel rather go to movies or rather go to something else because of previous conditioning and previous desires. So that's why if you have association, somehow, you know, it becomes more, you know, easy for us. Take it up seriously. So then, continue further down. Lord, however, can fulfill all desires.
The Lord, however, can fulfill all desires, and the Lord, being neutral to everyone, does not interfere with the desires of the minute independent living entities. However, when one desires Krishna, the Lord takes special care and encourages one to desire in such a way that one can attain to him and be eternally happy.
Very nice, right? Very encouraging, right? So Lord, he will not interfere with our desires. So whatever desire, somehow because of previous life, We cannot say, no, Krishna, you created this desire. It's all based on desire. No, Krishna induced me to desire like this. That is, we are responsible for the desires we have. So, but he doesn't interfere. So, whether it's good or bad, he's going to fulfill it. But however, when we start, but he fulfills the material nature, those desires, which are not against, which are not in faith, which are not devotional. Those desires are fulfilled through material nature. But when somebody desires to come to Krishna, Krishna personally takes special care. Such a way that his desires more and more to surrender to Krishna. So it is said like once you start understanding Krishna, coming to Krishna consciousness, you are stuck basically. Krishna will not leave you. It's like entering a mafia gang. Once you enter a mafia gang, you cannot exit, right? People, you will be killed. You are done. Because you know too much. You know too much about what is happiness, right? Yeah. Imagine now if you go back and want to live the old life,
we can't.
Because from inside, outside, the voice will be coming, cannot do this nonsense, right? Cannot. So we will be frustrated in fulfilling those desires. Which we thought, you know, better come back and at least struggle in being, trying to become a devotee. So many examples are there. So many devotees, after a few years, they thought, you know, okay, enough. Maybe, you know, it's not working out with devotees, or some reason or the other, they left. But because they were sincere, Krishna had to pull them back in such a very, very, you know, weird, very, very extenuating situations. So, one person actually was very fond of fishing. Previous to coming to Krishna consciousness, he was always at the beach fishing so much. Somehow he came to Krishna consciousness. After a few years, he thought, let me go back to my life, and my favorite thing is fishing, let me fish. So he fished and he got Bhagavad Gita in the net. Then he realized, okay, Krishna is not going to leave me. Then I'll come back. So he came back. So it's
awesome.
Like that. So Krishna, you know, takes special care. So we should not think like, you know, Krishna is harassing me now. No, he takes special care that, you know, Krishna loves us so much actually. He misses our relationship. So he wants to, well, that's why he said, we take one step, Krishna takes 1,000 steps towards us. So he wants to help us come closer to him. And that's the same mood our acharyas have, that's the same mood spiritual masters have, that's the same mood anybody has who is helping us. They always want to take us somehow or the other closer to Krishna. That's the mood we should have actually when we interact with anybody. Now, how can I bring this person closer to Krishna? That's, if they have that mood, then, you know, we are being actually servant of everyone. We are being a well-wisher of everyone. So that's why it's very rare if somebody comes to Krishna consciousness, we should give special, you know, care and attention to them, because Krishna loves them so much.
Padali, one question. As we are saying, if we have desires, material nature will fulfill, but sometimes we have, like most of the time, our desires are coming and keep changing very frequently, even though we don't realize how fast our desires are changing. Within like 1 week, you will say your desires are coming and going. So whatever the desire came 1 week back, right now I'm not thinking, even though. So will that desire will happen, or that desire is went away? Like input is already done, right? But after that,
no, you have to act on the desire. No, see, let's say you have desire to become, change your position in the company or something.
But act materially, it will act, right?
You have to. You have to apply yourself to act.
I'm desiring like million things every minute.
That's why, you know, that's the point, right? We desire, but then the soul, along with the desire, it applies its body, which is given to it, for that endeavor. Otherwise, it's just dreaming. I sit here and dream that I'll become a millionaire and nothing will happen, right? I have to apply myself in that endeavor. So if you have desire, at least Krishna will give the intelligence. He will suddenly, you know, somehow you come across a lottery, something will come such a way that, you know, you can fulfill that desire. But if the lottery ticket also comes and you brush it away, or suppose a $1 million bill comes in front of you and you say, no, I don't care, then you are not going to get the result. It's something you have to act. Okay. So, continuing further, last paragraph,
therefore the embodied soul, by his immemorial desire to avoid Krishna consciousness causes his own bewilderment. Consequently, although he is constitutionally eternal, blissful and cognizant, due to the littleness of his existence, he forgets his constitutional position of service to the Lord and is thus entrapped by nescience. And under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. The Vedanta Sutra 2.1.34 also confirms this. The Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to.
So here Prabhupada is again saying, because of bewilderment, one identifies with the body, because of the nations means ignorance. Because of the ignorance, you know, and then it suffers. But then again, another point to note is, under the spell of ignorance, the living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. Now, many people, right, who doesn't have knowledge, who don't have knowledge, this is what they say, if I'm suffering, you know, if my marriage is not working out or my child not getting child, you know, why Lord is doing like this? Immediately we start blaming. So that's what he's saying. Because of the nescience or ignorance, living entity claims that the Lord is responsible for his conditional existence. Now we start blaming the Lord. But actually it's because of our own ignorance, because of our own desires we created, we are responsible. That's why last point, the Lord neither hates nor likes anyone, though he appears to. He appears that he's favorable to pious and no, is unfavorable to impious. But actually, because Lord deals with the souls, right? He loves all of us. And he's compassionate to the conditioned nature, conditioned existence we have. He's compassionate to the devils, he's compassionate to the devotees. He feels the pain, he feels that, you know, this soul is suffering so much because of leaving me. Lord feels that. So that's why, you know, to assist the Lord, to ease that pain of the Lord, all Lord's messengers, they come and somehow make people favorable to Krishna consciousness. So that slowly when they take up, then Krishna will be happy ultimately, because they all go back to Krishna.
So Mataji, one question. We are tatasthanas, like marginal energy. So, and there is superior energy, there is material energy. So as a marginal energy, how can we establish direct relationship with Krishna? Last time you said Krishna misses the relationship with us. But we are not superior energy. So how we are, as a marginal energy, have a direct relationship with Krishna?
No, actually we are superior in nature. In the sense, we are spirit soul. That is superior to matter. But at the same time, because we are tiny, we can be... Why it is marginal is... Marginal means it's like, you know, sitting in the bank, kind of like that.
Tatastha,
on the either you can go into the river or you can go into the land. It's like that. So because we are small, we are tiny. How big is the soul?
1/10,000
is the tip of the hair. So small. And material energy is so huge, right? See, just by volume also, if you measure, all this is material energy. And we are so tiny. So because of that strength of the material energy, the living entity can either be influenced by the material energy or can be influenced by the superior energy, yoga maya potency. So because of that, when it comes in contact with the material energy, it gets influenced by it. So it's actually superior in nature. So it has the real relationship with the Lord. It's not made of matter. Soul is not made of matter. But it's just covered because of association with matter.
And that also because of your desires.
Because of the original desire of envy to the Lord, and that's the root cause, and we got covered. And we are just, you know, just imagine, right, so many lifetimes, because of that original desire, we have just been covered and doing all kinds of fruitive things which are against devotional service. Just we got ourselves in that situation, imagine. And what is the hope for such souls, right? No. How can they come out of that? Just, you know, as if like somebody is tying you more and more. How can they get relief themselves? Right? So some compassionate person should come and, you know, just show what's the light. Just relieve us remove some ropes. But that's what we got into. You know, this point is said, right? You know, always we think, you know, I know the best what I need. We feel like, you know, I know this is best for me. Somehow we have the conviction, no, this is what I should do, or you know, I should take this job, or I should do this project. No, I know this is best for me. We feel like that, right? Or I know, the best is, you know, just focus myself on work, no, don't care about devotional service, you know, that is best for me sometimes. But if we know what is best for us, we will not be in the situation where we are right now. Right? If we had that much capacity, why are we suffering right now? Why did we end up in the situation? So we should think ourselves, then, you know, then that means I am not the right judge. I don't have enough knowledge. I am missing something. So better hear from the right sources and pave our life, you know, towards that. At least become a person, you know, where we can repeat the perfect instructions. I cannot be perfect, but I can repeat the perfect instructions, and slowly by following that, well, hopefully I'll become perfect. No, before coming to Krishna consciousness, I had this feeling. No, I want to be perfect. No, or at least I had the feeling that I'm perfect actually. No, oh, I'm perfect in writing emails. I'm perfect in all. There's so many. I remember actually. I always think. So much, I'm perfect in maintaining my body, I'm perfect in relationships. So much illusion actually. When I look back, after coming to Krishna, when I look back, I was nonsense. So much, so many mistakes I did, so many people I hurt, so many, I was so bad in relationships. Still I'm so bad. No, but so much covered up actually. So much covered up. Oh.
So many problems you can solve just like this.
Yeah.
Like a four-legged dimension. You're just falling and many things are getting solved.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow, you know, we should feel very grateful. That Prabhupada said right once, some people asked, Prabhupada, this is such a wonderful mercy. So, you know, we are able to accomplish so many temples. Prabhupada just sent people, you know, just go build this temple. Just go build this temple. And people thought, you know, I'm doing this another thing, you know. I really build the temple. But actually, it's all because of empowerment Prabhupada gave. You know, because, actually, Radhanath Maharaj told it very nicely. Because Srila Prabhupada had a desire to serve the Lord so much, Krishna fulfilled it. That's all. It's all Prabhupada's desire again. And somewhat the desire of the disciple to follow Prabhupada. That's all. Little bit, you know, whoever can move his hands and legs, Krishna made that happen and made everything happen through them. That's all. But it's all because of what? Again, we are talking about desire, right? Because of Prabhupada's desire to express his compassion to all of us and his desire to serve his Lord. Because of this, all of us came. Everybody, all this is happening because of that.
Wonderful explanation.
Yeah, it's right, right? Very wonderful realization Maharaj is explaining, right? Wow, wonderful. It's all because of Prabhupada's desire.
And it's true also, Mata.
Yeah.
If you think about it, what happened, you know, so fast, otherwise it's...
Yeah, otherwise
you know,
how
if
it's,
you go and talk to somebody here, who is going to listen to you?
Yeah.
They're not going to listen, right? So, really, it's like magic.
Magic. Actually, it's so, I was hearing something else, you know, very nice, very striking. So after some time when all these things started happening, you know, temples, people coming, everything, Prabhupada was becoming successful. Successful in the sense, you know, everybody recognized now what he's doing. Then Prabhupada's god brothers. So they all started saying, you know, he is not the, you know, really a person. He's not actually fully Krishna conscious. No, he should not take over ISKCON. We'll manage better. He cannot manage. So he started writing letters to him. So one of Prabhupada's disciples, he read those letters and I was listening to his lecture, he is Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he is Prabhupada's right hand. He knows all the internal stories, you know, what politics used to happen, everything, not many people used to know. So he shared. Then Prabhupada replied, okay, they believed that, you know, that they could be a better devotee or rather, you know, accomplish those many things. Then why? Let them show the results. Let them show how many books they have distributed. Let them show how many, you know, temples they have built. If they are more advanced than me, of course, this is Prabhupada's humility. He's not saying, you know, I'm advanced than them. He is saying, it's his humility that Krishna empowered me, why they are suddenly jumping and taking credit. You know, when Prabhupada needed help, before when he came, so many letters he wrote to his god brothers, you know, please send one person. No, I have this idea, I'll dedicate myself, but I need people, can you send? Nobody said, you know. People said, we thought when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that his mission will spread every town and village, they said, you know, it's just, maybe, you know, it's just within India. It's not all over the world really. That's the belief they had. That's the faith they had. But Prabhupada said, you know, actually Prabhupada was sitting on stairs where Bhakti Siddhanta was giving this class. that, you know, Raj Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Abhay Charan, you can say,
nice,
he can tell this incident, Prabhu.
The very first time when Prabhupada met...
No. So he was...
That someone else master.
Oh, somebody, okay, some
yeah.
other person.
When they had their, in his house, they had...
God brothers will all sit together and...
They were discussing. Okay.
Who is going to do this? Maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that...
It's only within
all,
India.
All over the world means before the continents were... everything is...
India.
India. So maybe India is only the place we can spread. So we will spread it only in India. No bothering about other countries.
Yeah.
They decided like that, but
Prabhupada was sitting downstairs
yeah.
and he was listening.
He was just listening.
But he didn't have, he had a complete conviction this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So he spoke to the speaker or somebody from the group.
Mm.
And he said, somebody will do it, but it's not you.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you don't have faith,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to accomplish it. Somebody will do it. He didn't know he will do it. He said, somebody will do it, but it's not you.
In Abhijit, Prabhupada had mentioned this thing as soon as he came into contact of the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Mm.
He always knew that my Guru Maharaj said it. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told to the Prabhupada
yes.
that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told this.
Yes.
So he always trusts that line.
Yes.
It will happen. He was has a full firm faith.
Yeah.
Prabhupada.
So that's the same thing actually. It's very crucial in devotional service is that faith. That faith, especially, you know, tangibly, we can see that faith, how much faith we have in our spiritual master. There is a very nice verse. Yasya deva, I don't know the verse, I think. No, for one who has unflinching faith in the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of the Vedic literature will be revealed to him. That's the crux of devotional life. No, the faith in the instructions of spiritual master. And that, of course, we have to cultivate it. Because when we initially come to initiation also, we feel there is no connection, we didn't start serving, all these things. But as we should understand, as we start taking up seriously, that somehow, we of course, until we have that faith, we should not take initiation. When we have that faith, we take initiation. And somehow, by causeless mercy, if we receive any instruction, personal instruction, we should make that as our life and soul. Because that's the success of our spiritual life. That's what, if you see life of any of the acharyas, that's what they have done. They have just made the instructions of their spiritual master, their life and soul. That's their success. And somehow, if by causeless mercy, we receive such instructions, and if we can make, that's again desire. If we can apply our life to make the desires of a spiritual master or instructions of a spiritual master of our life and soul, our life is perfect. That's our success. Okay, so another...
How to cultivate Mataji?
How to cultivate faith in spiritual master or in...
Means in spiritual master plus in Krishna consciousness as well. I think...
Eight. Yeah. I think we may not cover the next person. Yeah.
Well, ultimately, everything boils down to the faith.
Yes.
If your faith is like, okay.
Yes.
Some few things I am understanding, okay, these two things I understand, yeah, I have faith. 98 things, okay, I have to be. I don't trust fully, right?
Yes.
In reality, I think that's this way.
Yes.
Okay.
So whatever
1 or 2% we are maybe running towards thinking that we have a faith, but 98% internally, I think it's very situational, very related.
So based on how much ever we have faith, that much we apply sincerely. That's what we are trying to do. Basically, we act at our level. We cannot act at a person who has fully faithful. Then we cannot be peaceful, as you know. Once you were telling, right, your sister's marriage, they were trying to sister only. Somebody, cousin or somebody's marriage, they were trying to arrange, but you didn't have somebody didn't have complete conviction that they have to marry within devotees, right? Because then I told, you know, you will know whether you have full conviction or no. How? Because if you act in that way, the way which is unnatural to you, you will become restless, you will become anxious, you cannot sleep in the night. If you act in a way which is beyond your capacity of faith, we cannot be stable. We'll immediately we can figure out I'm in a shaky platform. Essentially, we are imitating somebody, but we are not really there. Then we cannot stay there. So the question about, you know, how to... that's why, you know, we should, wherever we are, we act according to the faith we have, according to... And slowly, at least, have the satsang going on. Then that satsang will build that faith. Association of devotees is the main thing which builds that faith. When we see somebody dedicating more than us to Krishna, and when we see, Oh, one tiny soul is coming. So when we see somebody, you know, dedicating more than us, and when we see, especially this is very important, when we see how Krishna reciprocating with them, then we have faith. You know, if I dedicate myself more, Krishna is going to reciprocate with me. The main challenge we have is we are afraid whether Krishna will reciprocate, because we are losing something. We want to take it more. We want to go deeper into Krishna consciousness. We are afraid. No, really, are you sure? No, people are saying, but you know, is it really true? So, but when we see, when we hear stories, when we see incidents, then we have our faith increases. Okay.
So the association will
association of devotees. Yeah, just stick to the association.
Gradually.
Yeah, increase the association if needed. As much as possible, just stay in association. Okay, we'll stop here.